everybody. Welcome back to Two Geeks at the Movies. I'm your co-host, Chris. And as always, I'm joined by my brother and co-host, Rob. What's up, boy?
Chris, you are quite the character.
Oh, shit.
We're right back at you.
Coming right back at it. If you listened last week, we're sorry. But we are continuing our top 10 favorite movie characters of all time. So we did our 10 through 6 last week. Rob, do you want to recap what yours were? Just for us?
Sure. Mine were, at number 10 was Tony Stark. Number 9 was George Bailey. Number 8, Ashley Williams, a.k.a. Ash from Evil Dead. Number 7, Max Fisher. And number 6, Marge Gunderson.
Okay. And mine were number 10, Captain America. Number 9, Woody from Toy Story. Number 8, Wednesday Addams. Number 7, Doc Brown. And number 6, Inigo Montoya from The Princess Bride.
Nice.
All right.
All right. We didn't have any crossover, right?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
We're so goddamn unique.
I feel like we'll have a few crossovers.
Yeah, I think as we get to the top 5. But who knows? Why don't you start us off with your number 5?
Okay. My number 5 is Jason Biggs from American Pie. He has sex with a pie, prematurely comes in his pants on the internet.
Define a generation.
Yeah. My actual number 5 is Walter Sobchak from The Big Lebowski. I bounce back and forth between him and the dude.
Surprised. I thought it would be the dude.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be higher. But...
Walter's just such a crazy person. And this was not the first role I'd ever seen John Goodman in, but it's the role that made me absolutely love him. And whenever he pops up in anything now, I'll take a little Goodman, you know. Give me a Goodman. He's got such a temper. He's such a crazy person. And yet there are signs of humanity to him.
Okay.
You know, after pulling a gun on someone in a bowling alley because they were over the line, or, you know, throwing a man in a wheelchair to the ground. He has the moment where he has a genuine speech about Donnie, Steve Buscemi's character, as they're spreading his ashes out over the ocean. And he's been so mean to Donnie the entire movie. And then he's telling all this stuff about how he surfed the coast, and he seems to actually care about Donnie. And yeah, it goes all over the dude, and the dude's angry at him, and then he goes up and he gives him a hug, and there's just something more to Walter, and just even those few moments at the end sort of recontextualize the character a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
But he's so funny.
He's amazing. He might have one of the top 10 movie haircuts of all time.
Yeah, it's really good. And the Oscars are really stupid. Mm-hmm. And not that I think he should have won that year, but I feel like if the Oscars in 2021, if we actually were awarding movies from 2011, it would make more sense to me, because we sit with these movies for years and we can sort of reevaluate them. And I feel like him and Jeff Bridges in those two roles should have at least been considered, just because I think they've gone on to be such iconic characters.
Yeah, I love that concept of waiting 10 years to award Academy Awards. It just makes so much more sense. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but it's it's right. So
it's the right thing to do.
And the tasty way to do it. Is he on your list?
Yes, Wilford Brimley in every movie ever.
All right.
You're number 5.
My number 5 is Frank Drebin of Police Squad.
That's ridiculous.
It's Leslie Nielsen. And I know, like, you know, film people would tell you that his role in Airplane was better, but no. To me, he will always be Frank Drebin of The Naked Gun. He is amazing. There is not a second of that movie that he is not making me laugh. I think, did you send me the GIF the other day of him pulling the chair out from under the Queen? I think it's in one of the sequels, and it's just such stupid physical comedy where he's trying to give a chair to a pretty lady walking by, and the Queen of England just collapses and pulls all the dishes and the tablecloth off this table, and it's just so incredible. He was amazing. There might not have been a funnier human being than Leslie Nielsen. And that's just my favorite.
That's a little peek into my marriage. Mo, after a long day, likes to play Candy Crush after putting the kids to bed.
I'm glad that's what you went with.
And after we get the kids down, I'm like ready to watch a movie or watch a show. And so I'm like sitting there just like a dog waiting to eat. as she's playing Candy Crush. And oftentimes I'm like, I'll just watch something while I'm waiting. And the other day I flipped on the Naked Gun. And after a few minutes, she's like, what the hell are you doing? I was like, I'm just watching The Naked Gun, I guess. And she immediately started like cracking up at everything that was going on. And she's seen it before, but it's a movie that every 5 to 10 seconds, there's something so funny going on. And he's obviously at the center of it.
It's one of those movies that I remember seeing in the theater as a kid, where I was probably too young to be watching a lot of the content of that movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the very, that and I think Christmas Vacation are the two movies I will always remember. I started laughing when I sat down and I didn't stop until I stood up.
Yeah.
And it was just so, so wonderful. So The Naked Gun, so incredibly stupid, but so fun.
By the way, I faked every organ.
Him doing the thing where I've got to go inside. It's not even a hilarious line, but just the way he delivers them.
The little look around he does. One of the scenes I saw is where he's with Presley. Why can't I think of her first name?
Priscilla.
And he's telling her the story about the woman he was engaged to or dating who said she was a musician. Mm-hmm. And I gave her a harp for Christmas. She asked what it was.
It's got maybe my favorite line in the movie is the thing about the good year.
No, it was the worst.
The worst.
Oh, my God. All right. We could do Naked Gun quotes all day.
Yeah. All right, where are we? Four. How about your number four?
Four is Ripley, Ellen Ripley from the Alien films.
Good choice.
I went primarily, we did a whole episode, I think, right, on Aliens?
I think we did.
And that's the Ripley I know and love. And to a lesser extent in Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection.
Yeah.
And Alien Insurrection, right? And she's great in those movies, and I feel like they wouldn't be any good without her. There's so many problems with them, but the first movie she's good. She kind of plays the final girl in terms of horror movie tropes, but there's not as much to her, and they flesh her out so much more in the sequel. Mm-hmm. And we've talked before about how she's awesome. She kicks a lot of butt, and yet there's humanity to her. And I keep coming back to that with all these characters. So I'm sorry, folks, but
that's what's important. I mean, the layering of them is what makes her special.
because one moment she's, you know, flame torching alien eggs and an alien queen, but she's sweating bullets while she's doing it. And then just a few scenes before, there's the line where Newt says she's scared and she says, "I am too." And it would be very easy to make her sort of an untouchable badass, but she has that side to her. And yet she also has like the, I almost said matronly, you know, she has a mother's instincts and she takes it Newt as if she's her child. And so she doesn't lose that part of her.
Yeah. That's a great one.
That's my number four. So what's your number four?
My number four is Dr. Peter Venkman.
All right.
Love it. Ghostbusters. Obviously, Bill Murray has so many iconic characters, and that is just my favorite one. It's one of my top five favorite movies of all time. It's an unbelievable movie. Again, as we've said about a lot of these movies, we talked a little bit about Back to the Future and how in the world does that work. Ghostbusters should not have worked in the way that it does, and it's incredible, and so much of the credit of that goes to Bill Murray. Peter Venkman is the most dry, sarcastic character. I've never seen a drier humor out of anybody, and it's unbelievable how great he can deliver a line.
He's, again, we could go down a rabbit hole of just doing Peter Venkman lines. He's so great. I will sometimes, it just naturally happens, I'll like walk into work and I'll start doing that little kind of like kicking along thing. With the one foot in the air. There's just all these little, I could see that movie 1,000 times and there's all these little things that he's doing and I'll notice something new every time. And I've seen that movie probably 100 times.
Yeah. It's just so great. I think about like one of those little things that you don't pick up on too much, but the way he runs from the back of the office and leaps over that swinging door when Sigourney Weaver comes in. It's just classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. All right. You're number three.
My number three is the Joker, specifically from The Dark Knight.
Okay.
Ledger.
Yeah.
I think with all due respect to Darth Vader, I think the Joker is my favorite villain of all time. And it made me that much sadder when Heath Ledger passed that he couldn't be in the third movie.
Yeah.
Because the idea of him carrying on into that is just mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a much more horrible tragedy that a young talented actor died in real life. Mm-hmm. But we've also talked before about how you watch this movie and you think maybe it's going to be overshadowed by Heath Ledger's death. And I never for a moment am watching it thinking, oh, that's Heath Ledger. He just loses himself in that role so much. Mm-hmm. He's intense. He's scary. The look of him is terrifying. And he's so funny.
Yeah.
He's the funniest person in any Christopher Nolan movie. which is a pretty easy feat, but
not a lot of comedy there.
Yeah, and just the fact that he's so intelligent and so smart, and yet his goal does seem to just be absolute chaos. That Michael Caine has that great line about, or the great speech about the guy throwing away the jewels, and some men just want to watch the world burn.
It's something else. I mean, it's definitely the best version of that character ever. And you think about the other incredible versions of that character. Mm-hmm. I mean, to follow Jack Nicholson in anything is a fool's errand. And to do it as well as he did is unbelievable. And even this new Joaquin Phoenix version is interesting. I wasn't in love with it, but again, it's very different. And the Jack Nicholson version is doing chaotic things, but he's also has some motivation. Some of it's revenge, some of it's just selfish, wanting attention. Whereas Heath Ledger's is like the purest version of the Joker, where it's just absolute chaos for absolutely no reason, which is incredible how well they captured that. So, all right.
I love the line at the end when he's hanging upside down and he's talking about how they'll never kill each other, and he goes, "Because you're just too much fun."
The whole "you complete me" thing is so amazing.
All
Yeah,
right.
very good.
You're number three.
This is my favorite sarcastic human being character of all time, and that's Fletch. I know it's so odd that Fletch is one of my like top five favorite movies of all time, but I just find it to be the most quotable. Chevy Chase as Fletch is the smartest guy in the room, the coolest guy in the room. Every line that comes out of his mouth is solid gold. He's unbelievable. I've read a couple of the Fletch books, and they're kind of fun and interesting, but they're what Chevy Chase did with Fletch is totally different. I mean, just the sarcastic edge and the goofy costumes and everything that he does is not from the source material, and that's all just Chevy Chase. And he's another one, like I could have put Clark Griswold on this list as well, because Chevy Chase, while he is a well-known giant pain in the ass, really earns that reputation because he's one of those guys who can do it all. He can be the stupid, dumb pratfall guy, or he can be, Ty from Caddyshack or Fletch. I mean, he can be the coolest guy or the dumbest guy, and there's not many actors that can pull that off. And Fletch, I believe, is his crowning achievement. So.
I don't blame you at all for having Fletch on there. I don't think it's that weird that it's in your favorites. I think it says a lot about you that Fletch is one of your favorite movies of all time. Maybe it's because you're kind of a prick.
Yeah, that's pretty much right. Sarcastic asshole.
Yeah,
I can
exactly.
relate.
I don't know if I've ever said this, but my senior quote was from Fletch.
Oh, that's right.
Can I borrow your towel for a second? My car just hit a water buffalo. Which is
So
the dumbest senior quote of all time.
ridiculous. Oh, there's just endless quotes in that movie. There's Frank. Won't he be surprised?
Won't he be surprised? God, now I
The
want to go watch.
delivery is, again, I think comic timing is so underrated or undervalued that because if you have it, you don't even notice it. And Chevy Chase has the most incredible comic timing of anybody I've ever seen.
It's pretty great.
So, yeah, he knows exactly how to say the line and when to deliver it. It's amazing. So there you go, Fletch.
There it is.
Fletch F. Fletch.
A shepherd.
All right. Well, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. What's your number two?
My number two, I'm wondering how much crossover we're going to have here. I have no idea. Your list has
This is
surprised me
interesting.
left and right.
Yeah.
My number two is the best scoundrel in the entire galaxy, and that's Han Solo.
Very nice.
And he's great. I mean, you look up scoundrel in the dictionary, and it's Harrison Ford in
Yeah.
the past. His relationship with Chewie, his relationship with Leia, Luke, so much of that original trilogy, it revolves around, in my mind, revolves around his relationships with the different characters.
Yeah.
And it sort of defines him, and it defines who they are. He's sort of the beating heart of those movies. And I think, obviously, Luke is our main character, and Mark Hamill, I think, is a little bit unfairly overshadowed by Harrison Ford, but it's such a big, iconic performance from him.
And it's so interesting in that aspect, because while Luke essentially is the main character of what's going on there, if you took Han out of those movies, you could still have them exist with some slight modifications, but it would be almost too operatic. It's kind of like that idea of how the first Thor movies were like Shakespeare until they figured out that Chris Hemsworth was hilarious. And yeah, they lightened it up, and all of a sudden you were like, oh, we've got something so much better here. And Star Wars, I think, could have easily gone that way. It could have been just very space drama. Luke and Vader is so very dramatic. There's nothing fun or light about it. And so you've got Han in there, and he's not even like the comedy or the comedic sidekick. He has his own plot and his own importance to the story, but he just brings this air of lightness to it that makes it fun, which is what I think distinguished Star Wars from, say, Star Trek. Not that Star Trek is not fun, but Star Wars has this light, just, I don't even know how to define it, but there's just something light and fun about it that makes it what it is. And I think a lot of that rests on Han Solo.
It's what's missing from the prequels.
Absolutely.
Is the prequels are so Jedi centric. I mean, you have your Jar Jars. Let's be honest. You got your Jar Jars.
They recreated that moment where Han stepped in poop.
And said, "Misa on the Millennium Falcon."
Oh no! Wow.
He's great. Love that guy.
Yeah.
All right, that's on.
Okay.
What's your number two, Chris?
My number two is Hannibal Lecter.
All right.
Again, if you've listened to me ever on this podcast, that's not a terrible surprise.
No.
Again, Silence of the Lambs obviously is the number one best with Hannibal, but the other iterations, even Red Dragon, for all of its Brett Ratner-ish tendencies, is a great movie, and Anthony Hopkins is so great as Hannibal Lecter. He's just so iconic, and for a character that eats people, it's incredible how lovable he is. And yeah, not, you know, even lovable. He's just, there's this innate charm to him that makes him such a bizarre and interesting character. There's all the stuff about how much he blinks, which is not much. Any interaction he has with Starling it's just amazing. It's an unbelievable character, and it spawns so many lackluster sequels and a TV series, which is interesting. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I still prefer the Anthony Hopkins version much better. But I don't know, just a great character.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. The end.
The end.
I mean, something we keep coming back to is charisma. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of our characters are huge jerks.
Yeah.
They're charismatic and interesting. And he's obviously maybe the most extreme example of somebody who, I wouldn't say you're rooting for him, but there are moments where you are. And then you step back and you go, oh, this guy eats people.
Right. I mean, and even that.
He shouldn't.
Yeah. In that very last line where he says, "I'm having an old friend for dinner."
Yeah.
And you're like, that is awful. And the whole theater, I'm sure, was just like, oh, hell yeah. He's going to eat that motherfucker. So
yeah, we don't like that guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's so great.
Excellent. Excellent choice.
All right. Here we go. The big moment.
This is the biggie.
Number one.
Okay. Did you ever see Big Mama's House? Because I'm going with Big Mama. He plays both, I believe, a cop, but also a big fat woman. No, I'm not doing that.
You're going to be surprised when my number one is Norbert.
So basically our number one are African-American comedians in giant fat person makeup and prosthetics.
It's interesting that that's a genre.
All right. So my actual one is Professor Clump from The Nutty Professor. No, my number one is Indiana Jones. And he's the fallible James Bond. Steven Spielberg was famously possibly going to direct a James Bond movie after he made... Crap, what did he make?
Just before Indy?
Just before that.
Because Jaws was several years before.
Doesn't matter. Maybe Close Encounters. But he had enough clout that he was thinking about doing a James Bond movie. And George Lucas pulled him aside and was like, hey, here's an idea about an archaeologist who kicks ass. Uh-huh. And Spielberg made the right choice and made my favorite film hero ever. He's funny. He's smart, and yet he's also just, like, constantly... He even has a line about how he's making this up as he goes.
Yeah.
He's maybe the most relatable big action hero, I think. And there's a lot of those. You got your John McClanes, and he's kind of in that same vein as John McClane, where by the end of it, he's just beat to hell in all the movies, especially those first three that... he's that much easier to root for because he's not untouchable. He's not invincible. He's just getting the crap beat out of him, and yet he keeps coming back up. He's getting dragged behind a truck and yet is like, I need to go kill Nazis. And so he pulls him back up and throws a dude out a window and runs him over.
Well, as long as you're talking about that, I'm going to just piggyback on that, because obviously number one is Indy. He's the best. There's just something so classic and timeless about Indiana Jones, which I love. And I love that I can show those to my kids and nothing has changed from how I viewed them as kids. I mean, it's just they're just a classic timelessness to the stories, and they're so fantastic. He's amazing. There's nothing better than watching Harrison Ford punch a guy. It's one of my top things in life.
Yeah.
And you're right, he is. He's such a, it's almost a, not quite a goofball, but I think about the plane scene in Raiders where he's fighting the giant Nazi guard. Mm-hmm. And the look on his face when the guy just punches him right in the nose and he falls on his butt.
He kind of staggers back a
little. Yeah. He's just like the guy who can barely get away, but he always does, and it's always exciting. He's the best.
The goofball thing, and it goes back to his comedic timing, and you see this a lot, I think, in Han Solo as well. In terms of Harrison Ford's ability to land a comedic moment. But there's the part, I think it's in the Last Crusade, where he shoots the guys and it shoots through like three Nazis, and he kind of looks at the gun like, oh, did that just happen?
Yeah, he sells it well. And certainly, you know, just last week we lost Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Which is terribly sad, but boy, the two of them together is movie gold. I mean, it's just unbelievable how great they are. God, I love Indy. I'm watching Indy right now. I'm done with this podcast.
Fuck this podcast.
That's really all there is to say on that. Did you have some honorable mentions you wanted to throw out there?
Yeah, I'll throw some honorable mentions your way. A few of them appeared on yours. I had Hannibal Lecter was one of mine. Peter Venkman.
Okay.
Then Woody was on mine. Doc Brown and Marty.
Yeah.
Elliot from E.T. I had both Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl.
Yeah.
Bob and Helen Parr from The Incredibles. Rob Gordon from High Fidelity.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Norman Bates from Psycho. Oh, yeah. Royal from Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
Rooster Cogburn from True Grit.
Okay.
And let's see. Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
Yeah.
And I had Caesar from the Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah, I had him.
Those were on my short list for sure.
Those are some good ones.
How about you?
You mentioned John McClane earlier. He's one of mine. This is a great out of nowhere one. Dr. Evil.
Okay.
He's one of the great characters of all time.
Spring we made meat helmet.
So that speech is one of the best things to ever happen. Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings.
Good choice.
Also, Gollum is great, but Sam is always my favorite. Yoda. I'm surprised you didn't have the man with no name on your list.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. Those were some of mine. Let's see if I had anybody else really good. That's McLovin. Oh, I had a bunch from Caddyshack. I mean, you could go with Carl Spackler, Judge Smales, Al Cervix, all great. So, yeah. This was fun.
I mean, I could have populated this with just Star Wars characters. You mentioned Yoda, Luke, Leia. I mean, Chewie doesn't speak one word of English, and goddamn, I want him to be my best friend.
Yeah. So, all great. Well, this was a fun little exercise.
Yeah. I feel like I learned a lot about you, you know. But
there's some weird shit on my list. I'm concerned about myself.
I feel like I know my brother a little bit more today.
This is creepy. Do you just want to tell us where they can find us online?
No. You can find us at Two Geeks at the Movies. You can find us in the Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podomatic. We're on Twitter at Two Geeks Movies, and we're on Facebook where you can like us.
All right. Very good. Well, this was lots of fun. Hope you enjoyed it, and we will catch you next time on Two Geeks at the Movies.
Bye, folks.
See ya.